How do I know he was at the game on Saturday night in Notre Dame, Indiana, near South Bend? Well, because I saw the pictures, of course. But if he just told me that he was there and he enjoyed himself, I'd believe him. He has that air of veracity about him. Dr. John Braccio, drjohnb.com. Good morning.
Well, I must say, Dave, that was a great, magical type of an environment.
Yeah.
The fans are friendly. The people are nice. The MSU people were glad to be there. You've got the Golden Dome. You have the Basilica. You have just a perfect place to get together, watch a game, and, of course, to have the good guys, the Spartans, win. Even adds another special kind of a spice or tonic to the whole relationship.
You know, Doc, I said the week before I had been out to Fargo, North Dakota, and had seen that North Dakota State atmosphere, which I immediately put in my top five all time, just because it's so off the chart for being such a small place. And Notre Dame is in there as well. Now, how can you put one with the other? All I can say is you'd have to experience and then get back with me and tell me what it's like. But you know, college football environments can be like that. Rarely are they like that in the NFL. You can be passionate about your team, but the environment itself is usually not the same, where you say soaking in the whole scene, the whole fabric. But you can do that at Notre Dame, and to cap it off with a win, so much the better.
It was also the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the 1966 game of the century. And I was talking to some Notre Dame folks, talked to a guy who played under Joe Koharik, the coach who was very successful.
No,
there.
He wasn't.
Michigan State loved him, of course. So just it found people very open, very friendly, people wanting to just share records and share information. So overall, it was a sun-drenched, just wonderful, wonderful day. You put it in the memory bank, and you'd like to bring it out and just kind of enjoy it every now and then.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Now, again, as I mentioned coming in, even if I didn't see the pictures on social media, I would believe you. But because we don't have that problem with trust going back and forth, and yet that can be a major issue for people when they know that others are lying. How do we get around, telling and what kind of rating system do you have as a professional in the business dealing with clients and patients in dealing with, I guess, something from as small as a little white lie to the largest fabrication that tears apart a life? I mean, how do you go about that?
Well, I think people tend to exaggerate. You know, we tend to hear about the golfer, the person who's gone fishing and just got a 300-pound bass that got away, so there's no picture of it. So I'm just saying that I think everybody in life can exaggerate, can say a little more just to kind of enhance the story.
Embellish,
yeah, shaded, call it what you would. That, I think, is within the range of normality, even if we'd say we ought not to do that.
Yeah.
Once you start going into defensive lies, not admitting something. It's kind of, I think that you can kind of look to, George Washington, who actually made the point it's better to offer no excuse than a bad one. But a lot of people have trouble with that, and they'll try to come up with an excuse where there really isn't a need for one. But the worst ones are those that are deception, people that really are trying to have you do something based on facts that really aren't accurate. And really, we tend to think of the sociopath ultimately, the one who will lie and do anything just to get their way and is completely aware of what they're doing. Now, the narcissist, of course, believes all their lies because they think they're so remarkable. But it's the person who really, really lies. And I think that even Nietzsche, kind of our old buddy from long ago, the philosopher, said, "He wasn't upset you lied to me. I'm just upset that now, from now on, I can't believe you." So I think that lies, deceit.
That's a great line, and if you think about that, it's really true.
Well, it's really true, because if you have a friend and you trust that friend, and all of a sudden the friend is through deceit, lies, they basically have done more than lie to you. They basically ruined what before you believed was really a good friendship. So people really have to realize that lying really can be far more than just the lie. You may get away with it, but overall, it can really do you in.
And it's not Doc, I mean, if you know, this is prevalent enough that I would say and posture that if you've gone through life and haven't been affected by this in some way, you've really lived a charmed life. I mean, it's something built into as well. The maybe slightly darker side of human nature can be very dark, or it can seem innocent. But to say, yeah, I've never been, I don't think I've ever been really lied to by anybody. Yeah, that's a lie. You're probably lying to yourself right now.
Well, that would be, you're really a Pollyanna. I mean,
yeah,
you really want to believe it. There are times, and you know, people will, like, I was going to read you some things, like, let's say you're going out, you're dating with someone, okay? And you're going to go home tonight, and all of a sudden there's someone who wants to get together and have a few drinks or eat something with you, and you don't want to tell the person necessarily, so you just say, I have to work a little later. Hopefully no harm, no foul. Now, that's something that people do, and I'm not approving of that, okay? But that's a little different than, really, I won't be home now because I'm going to be with Judy. Of course, you don't tell me to be with Judy or Harry or whatever it might be. So I think there are, it sounds kind of funny, there are ranges of lying. Like in the Catholic Church, we had, when I was growing up, the venial and mortal sin.
Right.
Okay, well, in this lying, if you will, list we have, we can have the embellishment, the, you know, saying something to make someone, like with when Aunt Mary has a fire engine hat with going with green going around, you say, ooh, that's pretty interesting, you know, you don't want to, you know,
it looks hideous.
You don't want
to say that. Well, what, because one is to save someone's feelings or to let them down gently.
Yes.
Or whatever. And that's, I mean, I just can't imagine that people would equate one with the much more nasty other. And of course, then there's the other category, Doc, which is, I'm not really lying, but let's say with a spouse or significant other, I withhold information. I may not be lying.
Right.
But that can be, that starts to, and you know, guess what? Couples do that all the time. You know, what happened? Well, maybe you don't include everything. Instead of adding in, you don't tell about something just to try to keep the peace. There can be reasons, I guess, for all the above, but what's the line, what a tangled web we weave?
I agree with Mark Twain. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. So
it's true.
If you don't watch out, you're definitely going to get caught. And most people that are doing a significant lie, they'll avoid eye contact, they'll change the tone of their voice, of their body language, contradictions of self. I mean, because people, after a while, you get to know somebody. If it's somebody you know, you can pick up when things really, there's something inconsistent or something. Now, some people are so good you can't, but as a whole, it's a good skill not to develop how to lie in a way that someone can't tell, because eventually it will come back and bite you, because ultimately, honesty in relationships with people will really get you ahead. You may run into some headwinds and some dishonest people to take advantage of you, but the old saying goes, you know, once shame on you, twice shame on me. You know, we put the guard up.
And who are we usually attracted to? Generally, people. You know, if someone tells a good tale, I like a good story, and I don't mind it. And I don't mind that. If you're going to embellish, make it a good one, make me laugh. But on the other hand, I like straight shooters. And when you have a reputation for that, and people believe you, and they can trust your word, that's a good thing overall. He's Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, East Lansing. DrJohnB.com. The podcast will be there shortly, and I can say this with all veracity. I enjoyed this conversation, as we enjoy all of ours here early in a week, especially after a nice football win. Always good to talk to you, sir.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Bye-bye.